I didn't have any morning sickness. I felt great. We were so excited. I felt like I was having a girl. So I went in for a routine ultrasound, and the technician was so cool. She just did her job and didn't say anything. She was a little bit tight-lipped, but I didn't think anything of it. And she went into another room and said, I need the doctor to look these over and then come in and talk to you. And she went in the other room, and a doctor came in and told me the bad news, told me that there was something drastically wrong with my baby.
She told me the news over the phone, and I was shocked. I really was. But the first thing that we did after she told me, and it set in a little bit, I said, well, we need to pray about this. And I was at a payphone at a gas station. There were people walking around me and everything, and I just started praying anyway. It seemed like a few people wanted to listen in, but that's the first thing we did. We just took it to the Lord in prayer immediately.
Jan left the doctor's office and went immediately to the Word of God. She read her Bible and meditated on every scripture that pertained to the promises of God for this baby.
They told us that she definitely had spina bifida, that she had a very large head. They didn't paint a very good picture of her health, and they pretty much in general were speculating that she might even die in birth, you know, just giving birth. So the hope or the expectation there was really bleak.
An amniocentesis confirmed that the baby was indeed a little girl. However, the results of the test were very serious. The baby was diagnosed with a neurotube defect, hydrocephalus, spina bifida, and as the doctor explained, she would not have the ability to suck or swallow on her own. The baby's heart was the only organ that she had that was in good condition. Mark and Jan were at peace. They believed that all of these things were subject to change, and they were excited about their new baby girl. As the pregnancy progressed, the baby's head continued to grow larger. 8 weeks later, Jan's doctor decided that it was time to schedule a cesarean section to deliver the baby.
And so we went into the room for surgery, and I expected to have a normal, healthy baby. And she came out, and the first thing I saw was a large hole in her back. And she had what they call the spinal sac was hanging out of this hole, and you could see it. And it just took my breath away when I saw it. And when I saw the size of her head, and her features were so distorted. I mean, you know, they told us it was a girl, but looking at her, you couldn't tell that it was a girl, you know. And anyway, after I saw all that, you know, here you are believing God for a normal, healthy baby, and this is what you got. And it just set me back, you know. And then from there, we had to go down to the ICU. I had to talk with the doctors, and right away they showed me things about her that were very concerning.
They painted a very grim picture for my husband, and they were very frank and blunt with him, which was real hard for him. It was very disturbing. He had a wife in recovery, and now he had a baby, and they were speaking death. They told us that they would do surgery that day before evening. They would fix her back, they would sew up her back, and hopefully be able to put a shunt, which is like a drainage tube, in her head to drain some of that fluid, and then determine how much brain tissue she did have.
Elizabeth began her life with tubes to feed her and a machine to breathe for her. An incision that split her back and a shunt to drain the fluid from her 19-inch head. The test results showed that Elizabeth's brain consisted of just a brain stem with a thin layer of tissue in the frontal lobe. Three-quarters of Elizabeth's brain was missing. She couldn't see, hear, suck, swallow, move, feel, or have any function below the waist. To the medical staff, her problems were overwhelming, and her prognosis was terminal. To her parents, she had the face of an angel, and a life that a miracle of God would restore.
We had gotten some tapes from, and we were playing tapes for Elizabeth. And we would go in there and play those tapes, and we would read scriptures to her. There wasn't a time when we were in the room with her where we weren't praying with her or reading to her. And then in my own private life, I would come home at night, and at an end of a day, at the end of the day, you're so tired. You know, I'm trying to hold my business together, and I'm trying to be there to meet the needs of my wife. And then evenings being there at the hospital, then you come home and you're just exhausted. And I would still take time at night to read the Word and pray. And that's what sustained me.
For one full month, Elizabeth clung to her little life with the respirator and the feeding tubes. But she was having seizures, and the machine was beginning to do permanent damage to her body. The neonatalist that now must be the time that God would intervene. And if not, they would let her go peacefully. So without explaining why, Mark and Jan gathered the family together to hold and spend time with the baby. They took pictures and videos, and Elizabeth loved it. And at 5:30 that afternoon, the family had gone home, and as their doctor prayed, he removed the respirator.
We had stood in faith. We'd done everything God had asked us to do, and this was it. So they took the tube out, and she kept breathing. Her breathing was rough, but she was breathing. But I held her for 4 hours straight. It was just wonderful. It was, I felt like a mom. I finally felt like a mom. I'd finally really connected. I bonded with her, you know, in the isolate and stuff. But to hold her, all of a sudden she was my responsibility. She wasn't the nurse's responsibility. I was to care for her now. I knew that. It was wonderful.
The next morning, which was Father's Day, a nurse called to say that Elizabeth had done wonderfully. Mark and Jan couldn't wait to get to the hospital to hold their baby and see her face. The medical team had done all that they could do, and just 3 days later, she was released and sent home as terminal.
They said she would die within a week or two from one cause or another. Either one of those seizures would cause her death, her heart would fail, her lungs would fail, or her brain stem, which was running her whole cardiovascular, would be, you know, overloaded, and she'd die.
Elizabeth Gerd did not die. She not only survived, but she began to thrive and develop. Her parents surrounded her with the Word. The church loved, supported, and prayed for Elizabeth and her family. Over the next 3 years, Jan and Mark have been raising their family and living daily in the realm of the miraculous.
The first year, they kept expecting her to die, and they would speak death. Then after they saw a series of incredible miracles and intervention by God, now they have put no limitations on her. And the doctor finally admitted to me that she is a miracle. And I'm hearing that more and more often from different specialists. It's exciting when they start speaking the truth. And I've seen God do that. They would give us, this is the way it is, and we'd see that prognosis, that diagnosis, contradicted by God, either through His Word or through natural signs. She is a very verbal, lively little girl. She's had her eyesight checked. She has perfect vision. She's a very healthy little girl.
You were told your baby wouldn't live minutes or hours when she was born. And she's going to be 3 years old. You were told that she would never see or speak. How true is it?
They told us that the tubes down her throat could damage her vocal cords and she would never speak. She is a smart girl. She knows her address, her phone number. She counts to 30. She knows her ABCs. She's a smart girl. God has just gifted her. And all that is just proof that He's at work in her life. That God is working. He's doing His work. There's been a real concern for her, her spine. And they told me that with her condition, she could actually curl up and actually get smaller and smaller. And as she would curl up, her spine would, it would try and grow, but it would grow into a circle and into itself. It would actually damage her internal organs. We've seen a spine surgeon a couple times, and her back is straightening. It is offsetting each other. And they've taken close-up pictures of her vertebrae, and they can see where they're misshapen. But somehow, he says, I don't know how it's happening, but it's offsetting each other, and it's actually improving and straightening out. So we've seen the hand of God there, straightening her back out. And I believe that the creative power of God will recreate those vertebrae, and that spine will be whole and healthy.
The most recent x-rays show that her brain is growing. Where there was nothing but space, Elizabeth is gaining brain mass. There is no medical explanation for this phenomenal manifestation of the healing power of God. Elizabeth is a work in progress. She is a talking, singing, praising miracle of God. Everywhere she goes, people are drawn to the Spirit of the Lord that is so visible within her. This little girl, who is not supposed to think, breathe, remember, or even be alive, is 3 years old today. She can sing all of the verses of How Great Thou Art. She has a heart that worships and hungers for God. And she is constantly encouraging others to join in.
I come home from work when I'm tired. Elizabeth, as soon as I walk in, she puts both arms out and she wants a hug right away. And she'll hug me and love on me for a while. And then she'll, she just sort of brings out the joy in you. She's like a joy magnet. You hold her for a little while and you can't help but be happy. It doesn't matter what you've been through the whole day. You come home and there's a joy there.
We couldn't rely on the doctors. The doctors couldn't do anything. They'd given up on her. We didn't have any other choices. We could choose death. We could just let her go. Maybe that would have been easy. I don't know. But there would have been too many regrets. We chose life. God had a plan for her. I had a friend come today and tell me that the Lord told her that He walks with her daily. And if you know Elizabeth, you would believe that's true. So I see her preaching the word. So often I think I'm the one that's going to tell her story, and the Lord reminds me, no, Elizabeth will speak the word. She will tell her story.